Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we have had time today to bask in your presence and to open our hearts, minds, and souls to you so that we could indeed experience the relationship that you want with us who belong to you. And Lord, now we have heard from your word that helps us to believe in you, to trust in you, to know the truth that sets us free. But Lord, you also want us to become more like you, to belong to you, to believe in you, and to become more like you. And what does that mean? It means to behave like you. And so, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture, and we ask, O Lord, that we would understand it in the proper context so these fruits of the Holy Spirit do not become law, but become a joyful expression of your Holy Spirit working in and through us as we walk in step with your Spirit and the freedom we have received. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we've been working through this letter, and as I mentioned earlier on, we got to this wonderful passage last week, and we could have just stopped there, in my opinion, because so many people in our world today need to hear that in Christ we are heirs. And last week I shared with you just briefly about that one Canadian girl who met the Queen's oldest grandson at the Montreal Grand Prix and married into the royal family. How many of you were here last week, got to hear the story? She talked about how, but one of the things that struck me most about that interview was how much she wanted us to know that behind the curtain, behind the door, behind all of the pomp and ceremony, behind everything was a real person, a real mother, a real grandmother, a real great-grandmother who loves her children, loves her grandchildren, loves her great-grandchildren, who, you know, I mean, this is the type of thing that we don't hear, we don't see. And this young lady wanted us to know, and I thought, it really applies with God, doesn't it? Want us to know that what the world sees, what people outside see, what people who don't have that personal relationship with Jesus see, is different from what we're supposed to see, what we're supposed to experience, what we're supposed to do as God's children, right? What it means to be an heir, what it means to walk as children of the King. And so that was a very important part of Galatians. And it moves on from there as we move on from Galatians chapter 4 into chapter 5. It's very important to understand what it means to be an heir, because then you'll understand Paul's frustration when you hear his words as we continue on, where he says, you are no longer slaves, but you are free. Because we know that from the gospel, right? If the Son sets you free, you're what? Free indeed. What? I didn't quite hear that. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. No misconception, okay? We're free. And yet, it's evident, just going through those first few slides again, that's where the Galatian churches are. Just in case you haven't been here, what we were talking about is that's Galatia. Ankara is the capital of today, modern Turkey. And that was where the kingdom of Galatia was. And the churches are there in that immediate area there. And then the theme for our series is Jesus plus nothing equals everything. But listen to his words in Galatians chapter 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. And I have to tell you something. I was talking to someone, and I won't tell you what church they go to because I don't think that's symptomatic of the church, but I was talking to someone, and it's almost like they think that they're in partnership with God when it comes to righteousness, and that they're somehow, these works are kind of mixed in with their personal, you know, gifts and abilities, and somehow they're kind of intertwined, and they're somehow doing this righteousness thing with God. And I'm listening to this and I'm going, this is very scary. This is very scary. This is what Satan likes to do. I remember every lie that's really effective has a basis or a part of truth, right? And they're basically saying, you know, we understand that we need righteousness and works come from God. Okay, yes, we understand that. But when you listen to them talk, it's like, this is what I am doing. And I'm going, scary. Because what do we bring to God? Nothing. Remember that? That's the slide I had back. Yeah, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. It's very important, right? Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And yet, in our sinful human nature, in our reason, and in the world that we live in, it makes sense to someone to say, well, you know, I'm kind of God's kind of helping me on this journey. But I'm still doing it. And you're going, no. Sorry. This is a Canadian thing. We always say sorry. We think that somehow that's going to make the truth sound better. I don't understand that. Doesn't make the truth sound better. I should have figured this out years ago, but it's just kind of symptomatic of our culture. You know, always lead with sorry, even though it doesn't help anything. But you know, do you understand that? Just because you're polite and you tell the truth in a very nice way does not change the fact that people in sin and living in sin are going to accept it. How? Unless the Holy Spirit's really working on them and they're a person of peace and ready to hear it, how are they going to hear it? Are they going to be excited about you telling them the truth? No. So anyways, but here's Paul writing to these churches in Galatia that are being bombarded by this idea that if you just become a Jew, if you just go through and follow the rules and do the law and do all this stuff, you're going to be so much a better Christian. You're going to be a kosher Christian. Now, Chris understands what I'm saying, right? You're going to be a kosher Christian. You got the blessing, right? You know, and it's if you think about it, it's so silly. And yet, that's what they were being taught. That's what they were kind of like, okay, being in Christ is not enough. I need to do this other stuff. I got to kind of, Christ has to come along and we got to mix kind of my works and Christ's works together and eventually we'll get there. That's religion. That's religion. That's not faith. Yeah, drives me crazy. I know. For freedom, Christ has set us free. I can just stop there. Stand firm, therefore. Somebody said, Kay, you want to stop there? What, do you want to go to lunch? It's only 11:20. Come on. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And we didn't have this in the reading that Tom read, but I wanted to give you a little bit of context to see into Paul's heart as he's frustrated with this. He says, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. If you're going to go after works righteousness, folks, then you better do it perfectly. How many are up to the task? So I don't believe in luck, but good luck. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. But in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Isn't that awesome? Think about that for a second. Just kind of let it, you know. Yeah, just think about it. But only faith working through love. Then he says this, you were running well. You're like an engine. You were on all four cylinders, six cylinders, eight cylinders, depends on what kind of car you got. You're running well. Everything was smooth. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. It's not from Jesus. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you were emasculated themselves. Now, that's why we don't include that in the readings usually. Doesn't go over that well in our politically correct society. But I would say he's a little frustrated, wouldn't you? Yeah, I think he's very concerned. That's a nice way of putting it. He's very concerned out of love with this person that's telling them that they got to somehow do more than simply receive the love and grace of Jesus Christ who died and rose again for us. I mean, is this complicated? It shouldn't be, right? Why is it, though, when you talk to people, like Joel prayed for people at work, I imagine you're probably running into people at work. This is complicated to them, right? And understand this, Jesus plus nothing equals everything is extremely complicated to someone who's under religion. Who's really trying to be that good person. That is extremely complicated. It is way too hard to understand. Why? Why is it too hard to understand? Can you understand it from your sinful human nature? Yeah, I know what you meant. If you thought what I meant was what I meant, then you would be right. Can I be a politician or what? Did you understand what I said? I'm sorry. I must be hearing too much of this on the news. I don't know. Anyways, that was a quick save. But here's the text for today. And again, here is what he says again. He says, for you were called to what?
Freedom.
To work harder? No. You were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom for an opportunity for the flesh, but through what? Love. Serve one another. And I love this. This is really interesting because you got to understand when Paul says words that he isn't counting like we do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Because he says, and literally, this is what it says in Greek. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. Well, tell me something. Is there more than one word there? What he means by word is a thought or a principle. And he says, but this is the principle. This is the word that Jesus gave. It's the second part of the great commandment, right? First is you should love your Lord your God with all your what? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. He says that's summarizing it. And so I would say that even though he quotes here the second part of that, he's probably thinking of the whole commandment, right? I think he's going back to the whole commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then out of that flows what? Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, the thing about Galatians chapter 5 is if you don't have 4, you're in trouble. Because people actually read this and they use this next part as a way to kind of see whether they're doing really good when it comes to good works or they're doing really bad. And they use it, and I think you can use it that way. It's a good marker for things. But when they don't understand the context, when they don't see that it's flowing out of our gift as heirs of Christ in God, when they don't understand that it's because of who we are in Christ as heirs, therefore, we're free, we're children of the King, and we then walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we love people because we have that love in our heart and our mind and our soul, and that love is our strength. So it's really important to understand that it's our freedom comes through that love of the Father given to us freely. And then he says, you know, because if you don't have that love of the Father flowing through in the love for others, what's going to happen in your midst? Yeah, that doesn't sound like a fun place. I've actually been there, so I know. I've been bitten. Haven't quite got to that point of biting back, but I have been bitten. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. It sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? And then he does this. A reason I put all these bold and lined in there is because in my Bible, every time there's a but, I circle it, right? But I can't circle it on the slide, so I put it in bold. Because what it means is he's saying something that is really important, because he just said a phrase and now he's saying, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those who are opposed to each other, to keep from you from doing the things you want, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But, again, there's one of those circles. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, right? Now, the works of the flesh are evident. And then he makes this long list. And this is what I mean. People can come to this legalistically and say, didn't do that, didn't do that, didn't do that. Oh, I'm doing good. That's 30%, right? I didn't do that. Didn't do that. Oh, I'm passing. 50% plus one, you know. Didn't do that. Didn't do that. Well, I did that, but didn't do that. 80%. Woo-hoo. That's not what that's meant for, is it? That's supposed to just give you a passing grade? No. That's the simple, you know why it doesn't give you a passing grade? Because he puts this little thing on the end. I love it. I think that that's just the ingeniousness of St. Paul. Where is it here? He says, yeah, and things like these. I can just see those people that are just trying to get 80% are going, say what? That's like worse than a bonus question. You ever get bonus questions on a test? That's worse. That's open-ended. It includes everything. That's not fair. How many of you could hear that? That's not fair. You see the person at the back of the room when he's trying to pass the exam go at the end when he finally figures out there's a whole bunch of bonus questions and they're long and hard. And he goes, that's not fair. It isn't fair. That's the whole point. If you really want to do it by grading yourself, you're going to be disappointed. Because that's not the point of the Spirit. If you are walking in the love of God, Father's, in my heart, mind, and soul, and he is your strength, and you're walking out there filled with his love, wanting to go forth and show his love to others, guess what? When you do that, you're not going to have time to count all the things you're not doing. You're just going to focus on what you are doing, right? Because if you're focused on what God is doing in you, when you're focused on what God is doing in the midst of his people, you don't have time to think about all those things. You might think on them when you're ready to confess your sins, right? Just like the Ten Commandments. Martin Luther always said, if you really want to ever ask, what should I confess? Just look at the Ten Commandments. Start there. I'm pretty much sure that if he didn't have the confidence that we would find it all in there, he probably would have said, then go to Galatians chapter 5, just in case, okay? But it's more than that. Because that's not where we stop. That's the law. But we're under the gospel, right? We're no longer slaves to that. We're no longer yoked by that. We are gospel people. We know the law because it convicts us of our sin. But as soon as we're convicted and we turn to God, what happens? We're forgiven. We're set free. We're saved by grace. So, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against this thing, there is no law. And then I want you to pay close attention to verse 24. And those who what? Say it. Belong. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, we will also keep in step or walk with the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to close with this. Have you ever watched a marching band or a drill team or any type of precision? What is the word? Anything that where the people have to be together is a precision. What do they call that? Drill, yeah. Sorry. It's been a long, long week. I got to close with this, but I want you to know, have you ever watched the marching band? And have you ever felt sorry for the one person that's out of step? It was. Have you ever felt sorry for the person that's out of step and out of tune? I mean, how come when there's like 100 people out there, you notice that one? Why do you notice them? Because they're out of step. And well, they're wrong, but they're out of step. And when I was, my job as an officer in the Royal Canadian Air Force, my job was, I was in the air command, but I was also, my specifically was training. And the thing I loved to do was teach drill. And I have to tell you, there is nothing more, in my mind, more sweet, more awesome than a perfectly in-step drill team. Ever gone to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington? Ever seen and heard the steps when the person is just, you know, when the sergeant comes out to relieve the person and they're in step? Isn't that sound amazing? And there's nothing, I mean, that's why the military puts such an emphasis on drill, because if you ever want to intimidate someone, have like 500, like when we used to have the wing parade, and the whole wing would show up and there would be all these flights and they would all be in step and you could hear one step with 500, you know, people marching in one step. So every time you would, you know, you called that a cadence, right? Just like in music. And you'd hear the cadence and you'd hear the sergeant, the drill sergeant, he would go left, right, left, right, left, right. And he'd shut up and you'd hear that pounding left, right, left, right. And it sounded very, very impressive. And you know why they do that? This is the same reason the Canadian Armed Forces always has to have a piper. You know what I mean by that? Bagpiper? Because it freaks people out. It does. You know they're coming. That's why historically it's always been, when he's talking about keeping his step, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about when army would come, when you would hear someone come to besiege your city and you heard them in step, thousands of people in step, walking, and every time they hit their right foot, you would hear them. I think that's why I have back problems, because I just love putting it on the right foot. You know, just, it's amazing. It not only looks impressive, but it sounds impressive, right? We had this memo from a new commanding officer when I was at Four Wing, and it was so funny because he said, "You're going to wreck people's backs. Can you please," talking to us drill people, "would you please stop making the cadence so loud?" We're all sitting around the table laughing our guts out. Like, really, we're going to do that? We work so hard to get people in step. We want to hear that noise, that sweet sound of people walking in step. Now, I'm all I want to tell you is that that's what it means. That's what the Lord is looking for, is us to be in step. Because it's not only us to be in step with God, but us to be in step with one another, because it is awesome. It is sweet. It is powerful. When we walk in step with the Spirit and then in step with one another, it is supposed to send Satan a message. It's supposed to send the world a message. It's supposed to let them get freaked out, get intimidated. Let them know that we got a God who has won the battle. We got a God who is victorious. We got a God who can just do whatever he promises, and he will do even greater things than we can even think or imagine. We serve a God who is more powerful than anything, and we're in step with him. And that's even more intimidating than what this, I don't know if you know this, but in India, what really freaked them out about the British was the bagpipes and the kilts. I'm telling you, I'm not joking. When they seen these guys, it's hard to imagine guys, but when they seen these guys marching with the bagpipes and the kilts, it just, I don't know what to say. All I can tell you is it was intimidating, and it freaked them out. Pardon me? All the leg hair, other things, yes. I'm just telling you, it had an impact on them. And I want us to have that impact on Satan. I want us to have that impact on the world. I want us to have that impact on those people that are against our Lord and his mission. I want us to have that impact. When we walk in step with the Holy Spirit and in step with one another, we can have an impact that is amazing. Because it's not us, it's Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Are you ready? Ready to walk in step? Left, right, left, right. No. Be in step with the Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we